History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Matt Gray, who is a former bandmate and drummer from the band Battered Fish and also the band Leo Nine. We're going to hear a bit about them. He's also got a studio, does a lot of recording with a lot of different artists. And he's also putting on some great Christian events around Australia. We're going to hear a bit of his testimony today. Welcome along to History Makers. How are you, Matt?
Good.
Thanks so much for joining us, mate. Tell us a bit of your background. Where were you born and raised?
So, yeah, I was born in Melbourne, actually in pretty much like Ferntree Gully, if you know where that is.
Yep.
And so lived in Melbourne probably like for the first 3 years of my life. So I didn't really sort of have too much memory of that.
Yeah.
But then my family decided, hey, we feel like God's calling us to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So as a family, we went in a HQ station wagon V8 with a caravan, traveled around Australia.
Really?
Yep. Went all the way around, you know, Western Australia, came all the way back up the top of Queensland, coming down towards Rockhampton there. And we stopped at Rockhampton, and my mum and dad felt like that was a place that God wanted them to stay.
Okay. Wow.
So, I grew up in Rocky.
In good old Rocky. Okay.
Yep.
And did you have like a religious upbringing? Like sounds like it was a pretty strong Christian.
Definitely. Yep. Yeah. Very, very strong Christian upbringing. I think my mum and dad initially started at Church of England. And then I guess when we got to Rockhampton, I'm not sure what changed there, but we ended up at a Assemblies of God church with Claude Fingleton there.
Oh, I know Claude. Yep. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
And, Cathedral of Praise, was it?
Cathedral of Praise. Well, actually, it was before that.
Oh, before that. Okay.
Yeah, so it was, I forget which road it was, but yeah, it was the early beginnings of Cathedral, yeah.
Wow, fantastic. I bet you the church slogan was, you know, Assemblies of God, Rockhampton, we're built on the rock. Was that it? Anyway, probably not. So did you have a strong faith all through your teenage years, or did you fall away? What was your kind of early testimony like?
Yeah. Like I said, with growing up in such a you know, very strong faith-based, you know, family, my mum and dad would make sure we were at church, you know, twice on Sundays and then midweek meetings, and later on I got put into Royal Rangers, if you remember that.
So like scouts, but Christian.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 100%. I guess probably my earliest recollection of feeling the presence of God was one night at the Royal Rangers.
Yep.
They had a huge bonfire. It was massive.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't get too close to it because it was so hot. And I remember, you know, the leaders were getting their acoustic guitar out and playing, you know, some songs, worship songs around the campfire, basically.
Kumbaya.
Yeah, Kumbaya. That's it. And then I just felt like, yeah, the presence of the Lord just hit.
Wow.
Every single kid was crying. Like,
powerful.
Yeah, really powerful moment. That's probably like my earliest recollection, I guess, probably early, you know, like 12, 13 years old sort of thing. Yeah.
So good. And then tell us a bit about what you did after school. Like, did you go to uni? Yep. Did you work? What did you do?
Yeah, like I guess I was a bit of a fish out of water with that, because I always was interested in music at a very young age. From probably, I mean, even when I was like 3, 4, 5, my grandmother actually bought me a little drum kit. You know, I used to set up my parents' Tupperware and, you know, get the wooden spoons out and play along to the music. And so I guess my mum saw some interest in there in playing drums from a very early age.
Cool.
Later on, that kind of kicked off by the pastor's son, actually, which was, I don't know if you remember Kerry Townsend from Christian Outreach Centre in Rockhampton, but his son, Craig, was playing drums, getting lessons from the age of about 15.
Wow.
And when I saw him up on the stage, it gave me inspiration. I was like, oh, I didn't think, you know, guys this young could be on stage, you know, playing an instrument. I might give that a crack myself. You know, I've always been interested in drums.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, my mum basically said to me one day, she's like, look, I'm not going to stop you playing drums. It's going to be loud in the house, obviously, so it's not going to be, you know, pleasant for us. But I tell you what, if you can find yourself a drum kit, if you can get it with your own methods or whatever, however you get it, if you get it, I'll pay for some drum lessons.
So, cool.
So I was, incidentally, there was a guy at school that I went to, you know, he wasn't a Christian or anything, but I was talking to him one day about, you know, I'm trying to find a drum kit. And he's like, oh, my dad owns a pub. He's got an old drum kit, you know, sort of out the back there. I don't know what sort of condition it is or anything. And I'm like, I've got a surfboard. I knew he was a surfer. Mm-hmm. And so we did a trade. So I swapped him a surfboard and a telescope for my first drum kit, which is when I got it, it was only like half a drum kit.
Yep.
And then Craig Townsend, my friend, he had some other bits and pieces. So I sort of cobbled together a drum kit from there.
Yeah, okay.
My mum kept her end of the bargain, got me some drum lessons, and the rest, they say, is history.
Wow, there you go. So cool. Yeah. And you ended up being in this band called Battered Fish, which we talked about.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing you at Coffs Harbour performing there, seeing you at events like Groundswell, Manifesto, Easterfest. You then changed your name to Leo Nine, the band changed its name. Tell us about what it was like. You know, it was kind of like the golden era of Christian music bands in Brisbane, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
All those other bands. Tell us what it was like, all those bands.
Yeah, so at some point, you know, from Rockhampton, we moved to Brisbane. Mm. So that was like a big sort of boost for me in terms of the music side of things, because in Rockhampton there wasn't really much going on apart from playing on the worship team at church. So when we got to Brisbane, you know, I was like starting to look around and trying to get into bands and stuff. And at the time, you know, we were going to, like, I was going to a church out at Hillcrest where my parents live.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing really sort of much happening there apart from playing on the church band again. But a bit later on, we started to go to Glad Tidings in Fortitude Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is now known as Hope Centre with Wayne Alcorn.
That's
but back then it was Glad Tidings Tabernacle.
Yeah, that's it. And that was like the birth, I guess, of a lot of Christian artists. Like in that church, it just, I don't know why, but there just seemed to be a plethora of you know, musicians that were attracted to going there. And from that, you know, there was lots of bands like Tunjip, you know, there was
Dumpster,
The Martyrs, Dumpster, and then our band as well, Battered Fish.
Yeah.
So it was a really great time there. And from that, Phil Usher, who was in Tunjip, he basically had the idea of starting up Manifesto, which is like having a cafe underneath the church, open on a Saturday or a Friday night. I can't remember which one it was now. And we opened it up to the public. So it was sort of like a back alley in the valley. Seems a bit dodgy, but it was actually good because it actually attracted, they'd hear the music, they'd come in. It was like a $5 cover charge or something like that.
Mm.
And yeah, that's kind of how a lot of the bands had an opportunity to play from that venue.
Mm.
And then I don't know if you remember Nerida Tuppas, but she used to come along to that. She kind of took over Manifesto for a while. And then she had the idea of doing Groundswell at Gateway Baptist.
Yeah. I have this memory of Groundswell because I took a busload of kids from Coffs Harbour to it. And I remember a whole bunch of the bands jumped into the lake at the end of the concert. And there was bands like Die Smiling.
Yep.
There was the Frugals from Northern New South Wales.
Sky.
Rhubarb. They were kind of like the biggest of them all because they got on the Triple J Hottest 100 with
That's
the song
right.
Exerciser, the Drinkle Brothers. Beanbag. Remember that
Fantastic.
Song? Jesus will never let you go. So many good bands back in that time.
Yeah.
So that was really an incredible season. And sadly, there isn't much of that happening now. You know, you might have a Youth Alive event or you might have, you know, a Christian conference with some big artists, but there's not much of that happening around. So you've started something, you know, which you put on in Brisbane recently called Revelair. You had artists like Ethan Beer, The Nouveau, Jet Cameron, Sound Mind, TJ. You had a whole bunch of different artists there.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your dream now to kind of see a rebirthing of that music scene?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, there was a lot of opportunities to play back in those days. You know, we had Groundswell, we had Manifesto, we had... Yeah, there was other
Sunfest.
Yeah, Sunfest.
yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah,
and even you know in Sydney we had Blackstump. Over in New Zealand we had Parachute Festival.
That's right. Yeah.
So we attended all of those things and it was fantastic. But now there's really not anything going on like that anymore. And it was you and I when we talked about it.
Yep.
It was like let's get this going again. See if we can make something happen.
Yeah.
And so Revelair Volume 1, which we just had. Yeah,
it was great.
And that's the birth of this. And so Volume 1 being, this is the first one that we want to put more on, hopefully 3 to 4 times a year.
So cool.
Yep.
Well, what's this space? We'll be promoting these events when they come out. And if you want to be involved, Contact us here through historymakersradio.com. I can pass on Matt's details. It's on the website and everything. If you've got a band or if you want to be a part of it, you know, we want to raise up an army of people to help reach, and it's really evangelism as well. We want to share the good news of the 100%. Gospel through these events. So that's awesome. Now, mate, we've only got a few minutes left, and I want to get back to your testimony.
Yeah.
Because you and I met at Northside Christian College when your kids were at school with my kids.
Yep.
And I remember you. I remember meeting you and our kids were in class together. But then you went through a valley period in life. You fell away from God. You were away from the Lord. You went through a divorce.
Yep.
Then you married a girl from the US who wasn't a Christian.
Yep. Atheist.
Actually. An atheist. Yeah. And you were like Jonah. You're away from God. Yep. You're running away from God. And then one night she watches a video about the Illuminati.
Yep.
And she prays the sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Wakes you up the next morning and said, guess what, I'm a Christian now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I've been running away from God. Oh, what happened next?
Yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Yep.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like I guess, you know, growing up as a Christian, you know, like, and you take what your parents tell you as gospel, so to speak.
Yeah.
But sort of later on in life, you know, things come in the way of that. And, you know, like when there's religion and there's relationship, right?
Yeah,
and I kind of feel like back in those days, it was religion for me. You know, like I was doing all the right things, you know, going along to church, putting my hands up, you know, singing the songs, you know. Listening to the sermons, but then you know when I got home and through the rest of the week, there was no commitment there to read the Bible or to pray, and
amazing.
You know, it was just,
isn't that interesting?
Wow. Yeah, so you can go through a period where it's just like, you know, it just feels like you're going through the motions, and it's not that I didn't have a belief in God, but it was just like I just didn't prioritize that relationship aspect of it, and also part of, you know, growing up in this Christian household. It was a very religious, you know, where my parents would use God almost as a means to control us.
Yeah, wow.
You know, like using scriptures, cherry picking scriptures to basically keep us in line.
Yeah.
And to say, God's always watching. You know, if you do something wrong, bang, there's a lightning bolt from the finger of God, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess coming full circle, once my atheist wife became a believer one
night,
I woke up, I was kind of shocked. I was like, what is going on? what did you watch? You know, and she's like, oh, a video called, you know, Exposing the Secrets of Freemasonry. And, you know, she grew up in Los Angeles. She saw a lot of the industry, you know, Hollywood, as well as the music industry.
Yeah. Amazing.
And seen all the symbolism. And she said after she watched that video, it was like joining the dots for her. Like
wow.
She knew there was something going on with it.
Amazing.
But this sort of opened her eyes. And then, you know, Altie and Childs, who was giving that message, you know, talked about Jesus, you know, being the way, the truth of life. And she gave her life to the Lord.
So cool.
And I was, you know, reeling from it. I didn't know what to think at first. So I went through a range of emotions, you know, like, you know, what on earth? What's going on? You know, what does this mean for our relationship? You know, all these things were going through my mind. You know, then
and she actually got set free from anxiety, didn't she?
She had depression.
Depression,
right?
That's right. Yeah,
because you know, when she moved from Los Angeles to Australia, you know, when we got married, she was missing her family a lot, they've got no capacity to come over here to Australia, so that was really affecting her because family is a really big part of, you know, Mexican and American culture. And so she was really missing that.
Yeah.
And it came to a point where it was almost like, hey, love, if you can't come with me and live in America, you know, like we might have to do this long distance or, you know, it's not going to work out. So it was pretty sort of serious. And then after she gave her life to Christ, she said that depression, all those feelings of, you know, it just went.
Hallelujah. The cloud left.
Yeah.
The cloud left. Hallelujah. I love it.
So that was the first. So I guess when coming back to, you know, how I was dealing with her becoming a believer, you know, she would say, you know, just watch the video, you know. So I watched the video. It was like 5 hours long. And I was like, wow, I'll just do it a bit at a time. Watched it. And then, you know, she's like, well, you know, what did you think? And I'm like, yeah, I've heard some of those things before. You know, back in the 80s, they were talking about rock music, you know, being the devil's music and play it backwards, you got, you know, backmasking messages and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, burn all your CDs, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd heard some of it before, and it really, honestly, it didn't really convince me in the way that it convinced her.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing was there was one segment where they were showing celebrity after celebrity doing these different symbolisms.
Yeah, and
it was very hard to deny that. Wow. It was like, well, there's something serious going on there.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, I want to see how real this is. Like, you know, I had my doubts, yep. You know, how genuine it was. And so I thought, I'm just going to watch and see the changes I see in my wife.
Amazing.
And then, so the first one was the depression went.
Yep.
And then all of her favorite music, you know, like she was just like, you know, get rid of it, basically throw it in the bin.
Amazing.
She had no more desire to listen to that or to watch, you know, she used to be into horror movies and that kind of thing.
Wow.
All of those desires went out the window.
Transformation.
Probably the first night after she gave her life to the Lord, you know, she's actually saw like a dark spirit figure over our bed.
Wow.
And she told me the next morning and she said, look, the only thing, I'm a newborn Christian. I didn't know what to pray. The only thing I could think of was to say the name of Jesus over
Amazing.
And over and over. And it left.
Come on.
And
now
then,
we're talking.
Yeah, that's it. And then she told me the next morning and I'm like, why didn't you wake me up? And she's like, well, I just didn't want to, you know, bother you and like I didn't know what to say or do. But you know, the next thing she said was like, I think there's something in the house that they're coming in through that we need to get rid of. And that's when I mentioned some of her music. She said, put that in the bin. A couple of nights later, the same thing happened again, but this time it was down the end of her side of the bed. And she saw the same sort of dark spirit figure, said Jesus over and over, it left. And then the next day she's like, I feel like there's something else. And in American and Mexican culture, you know, Halloween's really big.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd been collecting these decorations, you know, since she'd been, you know, in Australia.
Yeah.
And she's like, you guys don't really celebrate it much, but every year I'm going to buy a little bit more. I never used to like it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was never really comfortable with it. But I'm like, well, if it keeps her happy, you know. So we had a lot of decorations. Some of it she'd leave up all year.
Yeah, right.
And then I said, well, what about the Halloween decorations?
Yeah.
Maybe the spirit's coming in through that.
Amazing.
And she's like, why didn't I think of that? You know, can you get rid of that too?
Yeah.
And then me being, you know, heart of heart and also, you know, penny pincher, I was like, well, we spent a lot of money on that stuff. Maybe we should just put it up on Marketplace and sell it.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of gothy people come around and collect it, you know.
That's funny.
But the funny thing was, after that, yeah, there was no more visitations.
Wow.
And it was a transformation. And I was seeing all these things. And the last time I stepped into church, you know, like I remember praying to the Lord, you know, Lord, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And there was someone giving words of knowledge. And I thought, Lord, you know, if you really care about me, I'm going through this mess of a divorce and everything like that. If you're real, reveal yourself, give me a little word or something to encourage me.
Mm.
And there was nothing at the time. But after I'd seen all these changes, you know, this is years later, 6 to 7 years later, happily married, everything was going good apart from, you know, Carolina being a little bit depressed.
Mm.
But, you know, I remember just the Holy Spirit hitting me saying, remember when you asked the last time you were in church, you know, when you asked to reveal yourself to me. And at the time, I don't think you were ready, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, what better way to do it and to show you through
Amazing.
Your atheist wife.
Amazing. So
so that floored me. And from that point, I was on the floor and I repented.
I know the rest of the story because, you know, you guys went to another church for a while and got your lives on track. Then you came and joined New Hope. You're playing drums for us.
Yep.
You're helping with sound. You're putting on these Christian music events. Your wife is part of the worship team doing social media. Like, you guys are on fire for God. And it is just a great example of when you surrender to the Lord. And like you said, it's not religion, it's relationship. You're following Jesus with all your heart.
And I think I also had to like relearn, you know, like a lot of the stuff that my parents had taught me growing up.
Yep.
And probably the biggest one that really hit me when I was, you know, studying this with Carolina was when we got to the scripture, you know, Ephesians 2:8-9, where it says, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift from God.
Yeah.
Not by works so that no one can boast.
Amen.
And that it was a message of grace that really sealed it for me because I always thought it was performance-based. You know, you have to obey all the rules, all the Ten Commandments. If you step out of line, God's going to hit you, you know. But it's all about his love and his grace and his mercy.
That's so it. Good. Yeah. Well, Matt Gray, it's been so good to have you share a bit of your story today. I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.
Looking for fashion that feels like you? Kindred Boutique is where style meets heart. From effortlessly chic outfits to those little details that make all the difference, Kindred Boutique curates pieces you'll love wearing again and again. Thoughtfully chosen, beautifully made, perfect for every day and special moments. Because at Kindred Boutique, it's not just about clothes, it's about connection. Discover your new favourites at Kindred Boutique. Shop online now at kindredboutique.com.au. Find your style, find your people.